Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. TikTok might be the most lucrative platform for promising musicians, and Will Lindley might just be South Africa's The Kid Laroi. The 21-year-old Cape Townian musician and songwriter teased his track, Miss Me When You're Gone, on the platform, which garnered over 4 million views before the song's official release. Will has continued to release track after track, which has climbed the charts locally in South Africa and internationally. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Will Lindley. Will, where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life, and how are you doing?
You are finding me in one of my brother's bedrooms in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm doing really, really well. I think being in quite a quiet space over the last like 2 months, 3 months, but been playing a lot of shows and touring and things like that, which is really exciting. But finally gearing up for the release of some music again. And so kind of feeling excited to be in that space of creation. Yeah.
So let's take it all. It's not all the way back, this is not very long, but tell us about your musical journey. When you started singing, from when you realized that this is what you wanted to do?
I was kind of born and raised in a very musical household. My mum and dad were always kind of playing music around the house. I've got videos of like my brothers and I putting on mini concerts for my dad when he'd come home from work and singing different songs with my mum. My mum played the guitar a lot when we were younger. And so I think that kind of was where it started, and was kind of like the genesis of this all. And it's just slowly but surely morphed into something new every few years and has taken on a new form and new life. In high school, I sang a lot. I was part of an a cappella group at my high school. So that was fun. I had like my glee moment. So just music was always around me. I studied music at high school, but that was more like classical music and studying Beethoven's Ninth Symphonies and things like that, you know. But I started writing songs of my own in like about grade 9, grade 10, so when I was 15, 16. And that just was kind of a little bit of a grind. And I just try write a song every now and then and see what happened. And if I liked what I did, I'd put it up on SoundCloud and tell my friends, hey guys, I've written a song, you can listen to it. And so that really was just the environment that I was brought up in and the way that I like to create. And there was never a lot of pressure on myself. And I never really wanted to do music as a career because I never thought it was really a possibility. But that kind of all started changing in first year of varsity, second year of varsity, and I started taking it a lot more seriously. And here we find ourselves today. So that's kind of like the broad scope of the journey so far. But it really was just, I don't know, music was something that was nurtured in my household. You know, my parents never forced us, but strongly encouraged us kids to play an instrument and to always play an instrument that would allow us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. So I played the violin as a kid, and then I was part of the orchestras in my schools.
Okay.
My one brother played like the saxophone, and then he was part of like the jazz bands and stuff in like junior school. And the other brothers kind of all sang or played viola or played piano. And, you know, so everyone did music, and as the youngest brother, seeing that, it was like, oh yeah, it's the norm, you have to play a musical instrument. You don't have to. It was just what was kind of the thing in my family.
How many siblings do you have?
Three older brothers.
Are you still studying at varsity?
No, not anymore. I did 2 years, took a gap year to just kind of see out this musical thing, and kind of said and agreed with my parents and agreed with the people that I make music with. And it's been a very big conversation over the last year and a half, but we kind of saw this year as like a year to be able to see like, okay, is this possible? A year to be able to go like, okay, at the end in December now, can we look back and go like, cool, we can see tangible exponential growth. It's pointless to go back to university now because we've got something working, or you know what, was this year just a fun year and nothing really happened and we actually have to go back to university? And we are kind of finding ourselves in that like first answer of like, we can see growth, we can see potential, we can, there's an incredible opportunity that's presenting itself for next year. And it, we would be very silly to stop the journey now. And so, yeah, I'm kind of, yeah, moving on from varsity and continuing this music path.
And what were you studying?
BCom International Business at Stelis.
Okay. So you got some credits to your name. So if you ever want to go back to it, you can, if you ever need
Exactly.
to.
Exactly. So it's chill.
Tell me from zero or nothing to a 3 to 4 minute song melody, instrumentation, and song that we listen to. What is that process for you? Is it the same every time? Is it different? What inspires you? What is that song journey?
Yo. Gee, it changes. Every single song is different. There's no one way to create a song or no one way to create anything actually in just the creative space in the creative world. It's different for every song. And I can tell you that for the EP that is out on streaming platforms, that process was very different to the process of how our next single is very, the creative process for the EP is very different to the creative process for the single that we've got coming out. The EP was kind of all created on Zoom and WhatsApp and messages and going back and forth, and was a relatively like quick process in the grand scheme of things. There was no time where like we all got into the studio together, got instrumentalists to come in and play parts, and like, you know, I kind of love that part of things, but we never really had that in the EP. I guess like for some songs we got somebody to come play the guitar parts, but we never got like live drums tracked or just like had a day where we just went in on all instruments, retracking parts, things like that. So it was a very like, I think a very removed process, but still a very fun process.
Is that because of COVID?
Because of COVID and because I was in South Africa and David and Bubele and John Samuel, who the guys that I write with a lot, were all in the States, you know,
Okay,
and
understood, understood. Okay.
we literally could not be together in the same room at all, you know. But that has dramatically changed with this new single coming out. David and Bubele actually came out from the States to South Africa to watch my Daisy's performance and are now spending the rest of the year in South Africa. And so we went into the studio together for like 4 days with this incredible guy called Paul Hammer. And he's an incredible instrumentalist. And basically, we just spent like 4 days throwing ideas at the wall. And Paul would play like basically anything we asked him to play, he was playing it. So it was like tracking drums and tracking guitars. And you can hear the difference that that makes to a song. The single that we got coming out incredibly soon is a song called Last Call slash the ABBA song. And it just has a whole different feel. I think there's something special about having live instruments and live tracking in a song and it not being dominated by it, everything in perfect grids and sounding like perfect. And it's, I'm so excited. I think it's going to be a really, really, really fun one.
Did you say slash the ABBA song?
Yeah, it's become known to a lot of people as the ABBA song. So I have to put the ABBA song in its title. So we're going to go like Last Call and then in brackets, the ABBA song.
But why the ABBA song?
Because there's a line in it that goes, "We started dancing to ABBA, now I can't pretend." And everyone's kind of latched onto that line and they're
Okay.
like, "Oh, where's the ABBA song? Where's that song?" So, yeah.
And you like ABBA yourself, personally?
Oh, I love ABBA. Come
Oh,
on.
cool.
Who can't love a little bit of Gimme, Gimme, Gimme or Voulez-Vous? Or, I
Oh,
mean,
I
come
mean,
on.
they're brilliant. I mean, they were so mocked at that in their time. I mean, I wasn't even thought of, neither were you, naturally. But I mean, when those songs were released, but they were so mocked of. And if you listen to the intricacies and the productions of their music, now people start to, in the 80s, 90s, and whatever, they pr appreciate the ABBA music because they were so ahead of their time in what they did. Beyond the next song, the ABBA song, Last Call, what's coming up next thereafter? Are you allowed to say, or is it still very secretive or up? What's up in the pipeline?
No, we've got a lot of shows coming up, so we're working hard to try and make those things perfect. I think that's been a very interesting journey in and of itself, because live is very different to just writing and recording a song.
Yeah.
And then we just got more music coming out. We've got about like 20 songs, 25 songs that we're kind of picking from and just going to pick which one we think should come next, you know? So we're in a really, really nice space, in terms of like having the songs, feeling super comfortable in those songs and feeling like we've got good songs. And so it'll just be a lot more music and hopefully some more shows in the new year, and some writing trips.
So is this 25 songs that you mentioned, is this going to be a body of work that leads to a full album?
We don't know. It could. At this moment in time, with the current state of online streaming and music platforms, people aren't necessarily consuming big bodies of work for like relatively small artists. You know what I mean? You've got to be like The Weeknd or Adele or whoever to put out a concept album or a big album, and people will take the time to listen to it from start to finish. I think I have some ideas in what I would like to do for a concept album and for an idea, and I'd love to try and see that out. But at this moment in time, we really just focused on the songs and getting those perfect before we start dreaming big and going for an album. The album will come at some point, but
Okay.
I can't tell you when or how.
So leading, great segue. Obviously, you're younger, I'm older than you, but pre it was CDs, vinyls, cassettes. Those are making a great comeback. I'm grateful because I love me a CD. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the booklets, the artwork. And it was that whole physical journey of a person, going out, buying the CD, knowing that they had to save that amount of money to get that specific artist's album. And now we've got these streaming platforms. What is your perception of the way people are consuming music now compared to when they did previously?
I don't I that's an interesting question. I mean, I think like I obviously did have CDs growing up, but I don't think nearly in the same way that like my mum or dad would go out and buy vinyls, or like even my brothers would go out and buy CDs. You know, I kind of was like, I was born in 01. So honestly speaking, I kind of, when I started listening to music and getting it onto like my iPod or something like that, that was when like iTunes was becoming a thing, and like you'd buy the songs online, and then that's kind of morphed into Apple Music, and you know, so and then it was like boom, streaming era, you know. So I think I can't really comment properly, but I think nowadays people are kind of always wanting the next thing, you know. You can have a song and give it to people and they're like, sweet, cool. They listen to it for a week and then they've suddenly got a whole span of new music that's been dropped every Friday. So like you have a week to try and win over their hearts and make them fall in love with your song before Drake or Adele or somebody huge is dropping their next song. You know, I had a very funny thing, and when I first dropped my first single, Miss Me When You're Gone, Adele dropped her album the week after my single dropped. And so as a tiny, tiny, teeny, insy-wincy ant in the grand scheme of Adele, it was a tough artist to even try and like, to even try and raise my hand against. But I kind of saw how that took place, because they're really, there's so much new music being dropped every week, and I think that's where it can be a bit hard for artists with the streaming era and with everything going on. You have such a little amount of time to try and win their hearts over and for people to fall in love with your song before they're finding something new that they love.
But also the thing is that in that journey, there isn't much of a journey because it's just dropped into the inbox. Previously, people had to, go and say, okay, cool, listen to the radio or search or, go into iTunes and actually pay for it. There isn't much of that musical journey now like there used to be, even in your space, like compared to my space where we had to listen to the radio, listen to one single and then another single, then another single, and then go to the CD shop and actually purchase the CD and hopefully it's a whole 12, 15 track, song or tracks that were really cool. It's very taken a much away that energy exchange and that journey of the person of like really going out there and knowing, okay, I love this person, love this artist, love this song, and I'm really going to now invest in that time and energy in that space.
I think it's, I don't know. I think it's a little bit different in terms of like what social media has done is it allows people to gain a bigger relationship and a more personal relationship with the artist that they love, you know. And so I think like that journey is just taken on a different form. Yes, I'm not going out and buying the CD or listening to it on the radio. Like we still listen to stuff on the radio. Yes, we're not driving 15 minutes or 20 minutes to the nearest music store to buy a CD, but we are, there's connection online that people are witnessing there. they with the way that music's kind of released nowadays, it's like put it on TikTok. Do people like it? And then there's that journey of like making people kind of fall in love with the song before it's been released. And that's a difficult thing in and of itself. But I think like then that pulls people over to your socials, onto Instagram, and to things like that. And that's where you can kind of like build relationships with fans and try and like, I don't know, really build something solid with them. And then you know that when you have that connection, when you feel like I resonate with you as a fan and you resonate with me as an artist, that's where the connection comes into play. And that journey is like so indestructible, because then they will champion you and I will champion them, and they will listen to my music and I will try and put on the best shows possible for them. You know, so kind of it's like you just build the relationship in a different way. And I think it becomes a more personal relationship than what it ever was. And I actually really love that, you know. And so like there have been people that have come to my shows and gone like, I'm Rebecca, like the person that DM'd you about this and this and this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Rebecca, it's lovely to meet you. You know, whereas like it was never that it like 15, 20 years ago, people were fans were kind of like just numbers to artists. And now I think it's become a much more personal thing, and fans are more than just somebody that's listening to your music that you're never able to connect with. They are actually like human beings that are championing your music, and you owe it to them to kind of build a relationship and try and connect with them on a more personal level. And I think that that's where the journey is has shifted.
That's interesting. I like that answer. Now, tell us what you enjoy about performing live.
The connection with fans. I think the whole reason why I do music is connection. It's being able to create something and a body of work that hopefully people connect to. The live space, I love the energy. I love dancing around. I love just being a big presence on stage. I'm very tall, so it's very easy for me to take up a lot of the stage. But for me, it's just being able to kind of like give the fans something new and an experience that hopefully they will remember for a very long time. I'm still new to the whole live game, and so I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do you put on a concert properly? How do you make this work? But I think overall, it's been such a blessing and so much fun, and particularly performing live and having people sing songs back to you, or being able to win somebody new over who's never heard your songs. That's a really cool challenge in live that I didn't quite appreciate until about like 2 months ago.
Wait, how tall are you? You're sitting down. I can't really see right now. So, for the listeners, we're on
6'3".
Zoom. So, how tall are you?
No, I'm 6'3".
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's pretty tall.
It's all legs. I just
It's all
get up in the middle.
legs. Okay, so then, okay, so I'm the person who likes to stand right up in front enjoying the concert. But what frustrates me, and this is a question I ask you. You mentioned connection. I see there's people around me, and they've all got their cell phones up, trying to get the perfect picture, perfect video, perfect whatever they're trying to do with their cell phones, posting at the same time. Don't you find that is a bit of a disconnect to the connection you're trying to create with the audience?
No, not really. I think it's just a way for them to try and capture the moment so they can remember it for longer. You know, it's like a personal thing for fans. It's like if they want to film it, sweet. If you don't want to film it, sweet. Like however you want to have this experience, you do it how you want. You know, I think that there's still connection even if somebody's holding up a phone or not, because they're still in the room. They're still letting the music wash over them. They're still actually watching you. A lot of people just kind of hold their phone to the side and then watch, you know. And so it's kind of like two eyes, you know. But I think
Four eyes.
it's 4 hours exactly. It's never been something that I go like, oh, I feel like nobody's listening to me, or I feel like nobody's present in the room. Because if I crack a joke and it's funny, people will laugh. If I crack a joke and it's a horrible joke, nobody's gonna laugh because they heard the joke and thought it wasn't funny. You know, so it's very much just like it's just again a matter of like where concerts have gone, and if somebody wants to experience it through a phone and so that they can hold on to that memory for longer, then so be it. I love that, and I would want them to be able to experience the show for longer if they don't want to lose that moment.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. I love
You.
playing the game. The recipients of don't normally like this game. So it's basically, if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 hours, tomorrow, 5 days, the answer will be different. So I recognize that. You're in this moment, top five go-to songs by other artists.
There's this new artist called Annika Bennett. Well, she's not new, she's new to me. And she's incredible. She writes a lot with Lainey, a band. And so, like, she's a really cool writer, full stop. And then she has like these side projects where she's just released her own music independently. Her streams aren't wild at all, but I honestly went and downloaded every single song of hers. I think, I don't know how many songs she's got on streaming platforms, but downloaded her EP, downloaded five of her singles. Like, I've never found an artist that I've honestly loved every single thing they put out. So,
Okay.
a woman by the name of Annika Bennett, by far. Then there's a band called Tours, and they just released a song with Lily Williams called Darling, I Don't Miss You, Except When I Do. That's really good. All For You by Dean Lewis. Sick. Sorry, I'm going through my Spotify here because
No,
I cheat.
it's okay.
A song called Different by Joshua Bassett's really cool. I'm In Love With You by 1975. One more. Probably The Neighborhood by Grace Enger.
Okay, brilliant. And now, artists that you have would like to on your bucket list that you'd like to collaborate with.
Annika Bennett is now definitely one of them.
Okay.
I love John Bellion. I'd love to write with him one day. Chelsea Cutler, I think, is incredible. There's this guy called Adrian Bassett, who I think is really good, or Bassett. Yeah, those are kind of them right now. But Chelsea Cutler, I think, would be really, really cool. But then there's like Loiso, who's insane. I had a camp with him the other, like 2 weeks ago, and he's just so good. I think he would be so much fun. Matthew Moll, absolute legend, dream collaborator. So I've got a few on my list.
Okay, putting it out there that they'll all happen.
Let's see, eh? Let's see.
Yeah. No, let's manifest. We have to manifest. Well,
I
so
get you.
the podcast is listening to locally, internationally, all around the world. The top five countries are the UK, USA, South Africa, Belgium, and Germany, interestingly enough. So as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
That's an interesting question. I always struggle with this one because I'm like, what? Why would people want to take anything from me? But I think our world is in massive need of just a big hug, and hopefully, I can try and provide that every now and then. But stay true to who you are. Don't let anybody else tell you how you should show up and live your life. Have fun. Take in all the goodness of the days. Leave all the bad behind, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Love it. Putting one foot in front of the other, as Will says. So this is Celeb Savant signing out with Will Lindley.